I believe what the Lord would like to do, not only at Camp Dove, but at Camp Peniel, and also in our own church, just to seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. I was very moved Sunday evening by the response, not just from our children, but from our adults as well. I have often thought that we put a lot of responsibility on teenagers and young people to go to camp and get fired up and come home, and then we get a little bit of the residual effect of it. You know, it kind of gets us excited when they're getting in and pushing in and all of that. But I have realized the older that I'm getting that I can never expect my children to do what I am not willing to do myself. It's just there's just a huge weightiness that rests upon our shoulders, mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, and I don't want to run from that responsibility. I want to embrace it. We are Pentecostal, and we believe in the impetus of the Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit. And so I just would like to see the Lord, even in my own heart, in my own life, re-energize, refocus, and renew a fresh hunger for a move of the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. I think all of our youth are almost in, so I can stop rambling. Matthew chapter 22 is going to be our text this evening. We're going to be reading verses 36 to 38. I wrestled with even bringing attention to this, and I'm just going to because I feel like it needs to be understood where this message is coming from. This is going to be my last youth service to preach. And so I'm going to preach to you tonight what I wish people that have already been in the youth group could hear one more time. All right, so I want you to think about tonight what I'm saying. There's nothing new I'm going to preach tonight that you've not already heard. And there's nothing new that I'm going to tell you that our adults have not already heard. But I think it's very vital that we would heed the instruction from the Lord tonight. And I hope that you'll lend me your attention, all right? Jesus is teaching, and the religious leaders are gathering around trying to catch him in a trap, to ensnare him with his words. And one of them says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." I want to preach to you tonight on the choice is yours, or better yet, choosing for yourself. Choosing for yourself. Y'all pray for us tonight. Pray for our young people and pray for our own hearts. The Lord would speak to us. Amen.
Father, we're thankful. We appreciate you. We need you. God, I pray tonight for every heart that's here that you would minister, that you would speak to us, that you would show yourself strong. Lord, I love you. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for your word. Thank you for your keeping power. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit convicts and guides and governs. And thank you for your word that is fitly spoken tonight. I pray, Lord, for just a fresh move of your Spirit. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Lord, help us to fall in love with you. Everything that we say and do, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. Your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of the word.
Here recently, Sister Sarah and I, just by going to camp and by virtue of speaking with members who have already been in the youth group years ago, have their own children, we have acknowledged the fact that there have been a lot of youth that have come through this church. A lot of teens, a lot of now they're young marrieds, and some are you know, even in close, getting close to their 30s. Some are in their 30s. And many of them have went to every youth camp that you've been to. Many of them have sat in the same rows that our youth still sit in today. Many of them have heard great preaching their entire time they were here at Union Road. Sat under the same pastor. Had opportunities. Engaged in revivals. Heard from great men. Men like Brother Lester. Brother Meadow. Brother Sweeney. Great revivals. Moments where they entertain the presence of God. It is an indelible mark in my mind of watching some who have wept under the moving of the Spirit, who have wept responding to the call of God in their life. Brother Zerbel, I've had conversations with young men who have passionately shared the burden that God was placing in their heart. Some a burden for ministry, others a burden to work in the church, to serve the Lord. But I have seen over the years a very simple pattern take place, and one that even applies to this evening. How that you can be raised in church, or you can be transported to church, but you will ultimately make a decision that affects the trajectory of your life. And even tonight, there are friends and youth members that we consider friends now that Sister Sarah and I would have to hang our head and say they are in a terrible mess in their life because of this simple choice to serve the Lord and to love Him with all of their heart, or to serve themselves and to walk away. This is not new. This is not some modern idea. This is a message the Lord delivered to those who walked with Him. It is a message that Judas heard. It's a message that the Apostle Peter heard. It's an understood message that the early church heard. That when you make a declaration to serve the Lord, you are aligning yourself with not only the ideas of the Master, but you are making yourself a servant to the Master. When the early church declared that Christ was Lord, what they were saying was Caesar is not God. That Caesar is not Lord. They had such a high esteem of those that were in charge that to make the declaration that Christ is my Lord is to make a declaration of faith without fear of death. I am a servant, a slave, a doulos of Christ. I will give my life to Him. I will surrender to Him. I will follow Him. When the Apostle Paul was riding on that road to Damascus and that light shined and he fell off of that ride and he understood and he heard the voice of the Lord calling him. His entire life had been mapped out. He knew who he was going to be. He had trained. He had surrendered his time. He had given his energy as a young man. He had dedicated his life to a dream and a cause. And yet when the encounter with Christ happened, his entire existence changed. His entire future direction changed, and he became a servant of Christ. It was all for Jesus. Everything changed. His love changed from the law to the one who wrote the law. His love changed from one that he would be a zealot for to one that he would be zealous for. You see, when we encounter Christ, our life is supposed to change. You may have been raised in church your entire life. You may know the songs. You can know the illustrations. You can know when to raise your hands, when to stand, when to sit down. You can know when things are going to happen. But if you do not know Christ for yourself, you are living a life without change. And it is an empty existence. There is a reason the exodus of the church when young people reach the age of maturity is at such a high, alarming rate. It is because there has been a choice made to not love the Lord with all of your heart. I want to tell you right now before we go any further, you and I, we can love the Lord with all of our heart. You can live a life that is sold out to Christ. You can surrender everything to Him. You can pursue the presence of God, the peace of God, the anointing of God. It is still the best way. It is still the greatest lifestyle to live. It is still a place of peace. Yes, we have trials. Yes, we know what tragedy is. Yes, we've experienced difficult hours, but it is still the greatest way to live. He's never done us anything but good. And so to love God with all of our heart, it requires us to choose. But true love, it requires a recipient, something of value to love. Now I know we throw around cheap phrases like, I love pizza. I love this. I love that. But that affinity that we're talking about is nowhere close to what Jesus is referring to here. This type of love requires a recipient of the love. Jesus is not an inanimate object. Religion is not the fullest extent of what this love is about. You and I are talking tonight about directing our life towards the cause of a person. That you and I are saying, I love Jesus more than I love myself. I love Jesus more than I love the things of this world. I love Jesus more than I love my future, than I love my dreams, than I love my ambitions, than I love the things that my flesh loves. I love Jesus. And it is that decision to love that brings about a radical change in us. To love God with all of our heart and soul and mind requires that we are giving a place of complete surrender. No holding back, no giving only a portion, but keeping some for ourselves. I have seen adults who have known the ways of the Lord who have tried, but they have only come to a certain place, that walk with God until that call to complete surrender is being made. And I have seen even adults choose their self, choose their own way, choose their own dreams for the sake of control, holding on to their life. But Jesus said, those that will lay down their life for my sake, they will find it. But those that hold on to their own lives, they will lose it. Can I tell you, He is a worthy recipient of our love. We can love Him because He first loved us. We can know Him because He created us. He spoke to us. He called us by name. Amen. This week, I'll be honest with you, I've been struggling with just all of the changes that are happening. And I found myself asking the Lord for just a fresh touch, a personal touch. I don't know how to explain it, but in the wee hours of the morning, I heard the Lord call my name, and I was recalling how He spoke to Mary in the garden. And He called her by name in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the tragedy, in the midst of horrific circumstances. And when he said Mary, the Bible said she, supposing him to be the gardener, turned and asked of him, "Where have you taken the body of my Lord?" But he calls her name and she says, "Rabboni," being master. There was something about the way that the Lord called her name where she knew he cares about me. He knows me. Can I tell you tonight, Jesus is a worthy recipient of our love. He cares. And we can love him because he first loved us. Unworthy, unlovable, but he loved us anyway. Oh, what a Savior. We love him. And because we love him, we must make a decision. You see, love requires division. You cannot love God with all of your heart and love other things as well. This is a very seclusionary life. Jesus will invite anybody that wants to come. He said, "Whosoever will, let him come unto me." Come on. It doesn't matter where you're born, where you're from, who you are, who your parents are, what you've done in your life. When Jesus calls your name, he invites everybody to come. Very, very open and willing for anybody to be born again. But when that moment of decision happens, from that point on, there is a place of division that is required in our lives. You cannot serve God and insert your idol. He is a jealous God. He's a jealous God. And we talk about the God of love and grace and mercy, almost like Santa Claus passing out gifts. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm thankful for the God of love and grace and mercy. I'm thankful that he has given us that measure of mercy and grace over and over and over again. But Brother Rolls, I am reminded, we will stand before an almighty God one day and we will give an account and he will ask of us one thing: have you been faithful? Have you loved me with your whole heart? Or have you had other relationships with other gods? And so there must be a division. This world will try to entice you and allure you with anything your flesh desires. John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." I have seen 20, 30, 40, 50-year-olds and teenagers as well who you can tell they want to know God. There's a stirring in their spirit for the divine to be in relationship with God. But it's as if there is a wandering eye constantly checking, seeing if that thing is still there. Seeing if that idol is still available. Seeing if that opportunity is still present. All the while claiming to worship the Lord, to love the Lord, but yet checking over their shoulder just to see if it's still an available option. Can I tell you, when you serve Christ, there is no other way. There's no other option. There's no plan B. There's no opportunity for divorce. There's no separation. It is either a ride or die situation. Him and I, we are together in this. Christ in me, the hope of glory. We cannot make it with a wandering eye. The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and I have observed the instability of adults that chose as teenagers to serve themselves or to serve something in the world. And I'm going to tell you right now, their entire world is rocking because there is no stability without Christ. That house built upon the sand, it's not if it'll fall, it's when it'll fall, because it's unstable. But if you will build your life on Christ, he will build you on the rock that is unmovable, that is unshakable. Does that mean you're not going to have issues or bad things happen? No, I'm telling you, we live in a fallen world, and that really does encompass a lot of arenas of our life. This world is fallen. It is groaning. It is waiting for the return of Christ. But until that time comes, we're going to have to deal with some stuff. We're going to have to walk through some stuff. But the psalmist said it succinctly, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It doesn't matter if we're going through things. He is still with us, and he is worthy of our admiration and our dedication. If you're going to love the Lord, whether you're a young person or you're an adult, it's time to cut out the idols. Cut out the extras. Cut out the things that are robbing you of a true relationship with Christ. Cut it out. Let the Lord sanctify it. Our love, it requires action. We're called to serve, and we're called to surrender. When Peter and the other disciples went back to fishing after Jesus had resurrected, they had returned to the thing that they knew. It was an easier choice to make in that moment than it was to try and figure out how they were just going to move forward. So they went back to default mode. And I don't know if I necessarily can point a finger at them, because there have been times when my world was rocked, I kind of felt like going back to default mode myself and just, you know, do what I know to do. But Jesus loved them so much. He found them right where they were. And he gets to that shoreline, and they've been out there all day, and Jesus knows exactly what they need. He's already got bread and fish on the fire. And when they see him on the shore, it dawns on them that that's the Lord. So Peter, who was not adequately clothed, girds himself up with his clothes, and he jumps into the water. And he swims to the shore, and Jesus is there, and they commune together, and the disciples fellowship with the Lord. But there comes a moment when the Lord invites Peter to have a side conversation. You know, I've learned in life that even in the midst of a congregation of people that all love the Lord, there's opportunities that Jesus will take to get our attention, and he might have a side conversation waiting on us. I've seen that at youth camp when, I mean, you can have 1,000 people shouting, but over in the corner, God is doing a deep work in somebody's life, and they're laying stuff down on the altar, and they're taking on that mantle of anointing. And I mean, God can work in some wonderful ways, and Peter is called to the side, and Jesus begins to commune with him, and he says, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter says, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. It's just been a few days, though, since he denied the Lord in front of a young lady, and he denied the Lord in front of others, and he even cursed. I mean, he had a great fall. I mean, great mess up, but he went out and he wept bitterly, and I believe he repented in that moment. And where Judas went out and he hanged himself because of his sinful ways, Peter went out and he repented. And the Lord is talking to him. Do you love me, Peter? Lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, you know that I love thee. And in that moment of declaration, in that moment of division, in that moment of giving to the Lord what he is a worthy recipient of, the Lord asked of him an action. Feed my lambs. If you are going to love the Lord, there will be an action involved with this love. There is no cheap relationship with Christ. When we get grafted into the family of God, we are given a calling. You say, I'm not called to preach or pastor. That may be the case, but you are called to be the hands and feet of Christ. And Peter is asked a question, are you going to love me? Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Then do something. So many believers, they lose out right here. It is an easy thing to say, I love the Lord. I love Jesus. I mean, think about how many people in our nation right now claim the title, I am a Christian. I love the Lord. But then Jesus says, serve. Service requires work. I don't know very many people in the kingdom of God that are serving that have time to complain about those who are serving. Peter looks at the other disciples and he says, what about them? What about him, Lord? What about the one that you say you love? He says, what is that to thee? Feed my sheep. Can I tell you, young people, listen to me. This, I really believe this point will help you. If you get in a place where your eyes are on those who are serving rather than the one we are called to serve, you will inevitably fall out with God. Because we are imperfect people. This whole world is full of imperfect people, and we are trying to make it to heaven. We're trying to follow the Lord. We're trying to do the will of God. We're trying to serve him. But even those disciples had flaws, and Peter had walked with them just like he'd walked with the Lord. They were there too. And you can see the issues that come about when your eyes begin to look at everybody else. But when you are called and you love Jesus with all your heart, all of a sudden it is not about what are they doing and who are they and who's that? It's all about, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Jesus says to Peter, feed my lambs. Be a part of the action. Get involved. Don't sit on the sideline. Don't go back to just doing your own thing. Don't keep your eyes on everybody else. Get involved in the work. Hallelujah. Every young person that we have youth pastored who began to turn their attention towards the things of the world, they quit serving. It was an unbelievable litmus test. Fall out of this ministry, quit doing this, quit being a part, quit helping, quit volunteering, and you can literally watch the worship begin to die. And you try to put your finger on it and you try to encourage and stir, you try to bribe them. I'll pick you up. Let's go do something. I'll pay for it. I'll do anything to get you to that next revival or that next service or that next whatever it is. If you'll just love the Lord with all your heart. But Brother Kevin, I learned something a little while back and it was a hard lesson. I can't save you. And your parents can't save you. Your grandparents can't save you. We want to. Right? We want to. I'd do anything. I would do anything to guarantee you make it to heaven. But love requires action. And it's got to be your action. Because if you have others that are trying to make you do it, you're going to find yourself walking away. Music, go ahead and come. I'm sorry I'm preaching long tonight. There's a place of service we are called to. And there's also a place of surrender. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who, what? He loved me, and he gave himself for me. And because he gave himself, and he withheld nothing from us, Sister Carla. He withheld nothing. He willingly laid down his life for every single one of you. And he took the thorns and he took the beating and the mockery and he took it all. He willingly gave himself for us, Brother Hoffman. And because of that, he's worthy of our surrender. Can I tell you tonight, Jesus is going to be the best choice you ever make. I'm going to say that again. Jesus is going to be the best choice you ever make. He is going to be the best choice you ever make. And the most important one. I mean, there's nothing else in this world that'll come close to the gravity of seriousness of choosing Christ. And so I want to ask everybody tonight, if you would, just go ahead and stand. I want everybody to stand tonight. You may be serving the Lord right now. You may be serving the Lord. But there's some things in your world that are pulling at your attention. That are looking, trying to get you to observe things in the world. And I want to ask you tonight, if that's the case, won't you just be honest enough to name the thing that's trying to get your eyes off of the Lord and lay that at the altar? The other thing is, maybe you're serving the Lord and you just want to have a fresh love, fresh appreciation, a fresh worship for all the things He has done. I'm going to invite you to come tonight too. But you may also be here and you're not serving the Lord. And you're wrestling inside of yourself because there is an emptiness that you have yet to fill. Over and over again you've tried, but you cannot get it filled. You know the songs, you know the routine, but you don't know the Savior. Tonight is the night of salvation. Don't run from Him, just yield to Him. And so I'm going to make the altar call for everything tonight. These steps are open. Adults, young people, can we love Him? Can we serve Him? Can we give Him our all? Can we surrender our hopes and dreams and our future? Can we trust Him with our homes? Can we dedicate our desires to Him? Can we ask Him to sanctify us? Can we pursue Him with all of our heart and soul and mind? Do you love Him? He loves you tonight. He loves you tonight. He loves you tonight. More than you could ever know. Oh, He's worthy of our love. To me.
I choose Jesus.